and that is Peralta versus City of New York, 25-17-10. Thank you so much.
Afternoon. Good afternoon. May it please the court. This case, answering the question that you asked ahead of time, how does this case differ from JUCA that was recently decided on April 20th by this court? I would say that this case differs from both Ramos, which preceded JUCA, and JUCA in that it involves an unappealed pendency order that the DOE implemented and then repudiated. And when I say
you didn't make that argument below, you know, Mendez, which is what I call it, you can call it Mendez too, covers you unless you make this new argument, which you are making now, but you didn't make that argument below. And so, and you had plenty of time to do it. So why should we consider it?
Well, the argument is how JUCA, which was only just decided, differs from this case. What I would say that the district court got wrong under Mendez was the district court treated at risk, the placement being at risk, as a gateway to any payment. Whereas Mendez said,
I know the argument you are now making, but that argument, which is an interesting distinction with Mendez, was not made below, and you could have made it below.
The argument that all we needed for an order establishing the student's pendency, a declaration that the student had pendency at the school and that the DOE should pay in the ordinary course. But we didn't change an argument to say necessarily that there be immediate payment. As I said, what the district court did was treated the placement at risk. He found that once the school year passed, even before JUCA, that the placement was no longer at risk. That's true. But the at-risk standard that you established in Mendez was only when the parent wanted to circumvent the normal course of payment, wanted immediate payment.
Okay, so you're saying that Mendez doesn't apply at all? There's no lessons for us here?
I'm saying that Mendez applies in the first instance. The Mendez talks about three different prongs. Parent is entitled to an order that says the DOE must fund a placement and entitled to an order that says where the placement is. What the parent isn't entitled to, unless the parent shows jeopardy or risk, is immediate payment. Mendez would only apply to an argument that we were requesting immediate payment.
Okay, so I have a slightly different read of Mendez, and I did want to get some facts out of you. But first, I understood Mendez to read that evidence that non-payment has to be threatening of the placement before we can compel payment. So,
before you can compel immediate payment. In Mendez, if I may, at the beginning of the opinion and later on, Judge Nathan talks about establishing, as Judge Torres did in Moonsamy below, Judge Vargas in Crespo, Judge Engelmeyer in Moonsamy, that placement is at a particular school and the DOE must fund. What Mendez said can't happen is the court, the plaintiff, cannot circumvent the DOE's ordinary course of payment by asking for fast track or immediate payment.
And my understanding of the way the Mendez court operationalized that is by saying that there is required to be evidence that non-payment threatened the placement before it can be compelled.
Only for the fast track portion. I believe it's on page,
That argument only for the fast track purpose was not an argument you made below. Maybe Mendez doesn't apply to this situation, But when we were in the court below, you didn't make that argument. And on the basis of does this hamper the child, the court ruled, and that's the only thing that is before us now.
In this case, Your Honor, the DOE was paying pendency, unlike some of the other cases. Mendez, the DOE said they were going to.
I understand that you're saying there is a factual difference, but you didn't say that to the court below. So the court below applied Mendez. And that is what is now before us. The court below applied Mendez. You didn't below make any reason why Mendez shouldn't apply.
I'm not.
And now you're saying there is a reason, but we don't consider reasons you didn't argue below.
I am not saying Mendez should not apply. I'm saying the first portion of Mendez, when Mendez talks about the argument proceeds as follows, 1415J functions as an automatic injunction with no requirement to show irreparable harm in order to maintain a placement, and funding goes hand in hand with that placement. Judge Nathan said both of those propositions are true. The DOE is obliged to fund educational placement for the duration of the proceedings, but that does not mean that 1415J requires DOE to automatically fast track. The argument here is, I'm not saying Mendez doesn't apply. Mendez applies to compel the DOE to continue to pay in their ordinary course. Once March of 2025 came, March 31st was the last payment the DOE made, this case is still pending. The SRO, the Office of State Review.
Did you say this to the court below? No.
No, we never said Mendez does not apply.
I understand. But the argument why, despite Mendez, you win was not an argument you made to the court below.
Your Honor, I believe it was. We talked about the regular course payment and the fast track payment. We lost the immediate payment, but that was all the district court addressed. The district court didn't address the fact that the DOE must continue funding pendency. The pendency order in this case, unlike in Juca,
and they didn't address it because you didn't argue it.
Okay, may I ask a question? I'm going to ask a question. Is Ivoreen going to remove CP because of unpaid amounts?
No, not yet. Has not removed the student yet, no.
Okay, so doesn't JUCA require us then to dismiss this interlocutory appeal as moot? Like, don't we have to show that it is a threat to his placement, the non-payment?
I would say no, in that JUCA talked about we inartfully pled our complaint to require pendency funding for the 24-25 school year, not until the end of the proceedings. At the end of JUCA, it talks about the claim being doubly moot, and regardless of whether the plaintiff had obtained all the relief, it's moot for other reasons. That's so because the stay put provision does not create entitlement to immediate payment. Rather, parents or guardians may obtain such relief if they establish delay or failure. Again, we're talking about immediate payment. The next sentence is the one I believe Your Honor is referring to. It says, because the failure to pay for a since-ended school year without more is insufficient to permit the inference that the then current educational placement of the child is in any way at risk, we hold that the IDA stay put provision does not provide an avenue for recovery against Doe for school years that have ended. But again, in that case, we sought pendency for the 24-25 school year, not until the end of the proceedings, as this pendency order requires. It's in the record at 79, and it says shall be effective pendency as of the filing of the DPC under the case number, which occurred on June 25th, 2024, and shall remain in full force and effect until either the parent's withdrawal of the case or a final decision on the merits, whichever comes first. This case is still pending, unlike in JUCA, where we pled pendency to be consistent with the school year, rather than, as the pendency order here requires, through the administrative and judicial proceedings related to IHO case 275795.
So you argued in your briefs that the failure, DOE's failure to pay, that their decision to just stop paying in March put CP's continued education at risk. Did you provide any evidence to that effect?
I don't believe there was a I don't recall if there was a declaration in the district court. Probably not.
So without evidence, what's the district court supposed to do?
Right.
There's no basis to find that the failure to pay has put any placement at risk.
But again, the risk in Mendez is if I'm asking the DOE to circumvent their ordinary course and pay faster. Here, I'm just asking that the court order the DOE to continue its ordinary course. It started to pay pendency. This case isn't over. That's exactly what pendency is. There's an SRO appeal pending. The DOE is supposed to continue funding that placement on its own time, not fast track. I'm conceding that I did not make out what I need to have this court or the district court order the DOE to pay by any time, specific time, next week, next month, fast track payment. But that doesn't automatically absolve the DOE of their obligation to continue funding pendency.
Again, as I said before, is a very interesting argument, which you did not make to the district court.
Your Honor, I would just say, as that is the third prong of payment, immediate or fast track payment, I can't make that last argument without making the first two. One, the private school has to be the student's pendency placement. I want the order to say that. Two, the DOE must fund it. I want the order to say that. And then if I asked for immediate payment, which I may not be entitled to. In fact, let's assume here I'm not entitled to the third prong, immediate payment. I still ask the court to find the first two pertain to this student. I bring this to student's pendency. The DOE must fund.
Thank you,
Judge.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Amy McCanfield on behalf of the appellees. Your Honors, Juca and Mendez are directly on point here. The money that...
Can I ask, what are the outer limits by which these schools have to go unpaid and for the DOE to feel like they need to act?
So the DOE complies with final pendency orders. And here, the IHO pendency order is on appeal to the SRO. And as we noted in our brief, the IHO order, we believe, is very, very likely to be overturned on appeal because it's clearly inconsistent with this court's Ventura di Polino decision, a point that plaintiffs don't address at all in their reply brief. So again, once there is a final pendency order, DOE will comply and make those payments. But DOE has a right to appeal the IHO pendency order. DOE exercised its right. And again, we believe that pendency order is very likely to be overturned on appeal to the SRO, which is still pending. JUCA is very clear that once the school year has passed, the stay put provision does not provide an avenue to obtain funding for a school year that has passed. And that's what plaintiff is seeking in.
Okay, well, right. But so let's ignore for just a moment whether or not there is a unmade claim that he's being at, or a claim that was not made below. Is there any sort of limit on JUCA to payment of current pending?
Absolutely. And JUCA clarifies that if the plaintiff can show that a failure to pay for a past school year has jeopardized the current placement, then the plaintiff can pursue a pendency claim on that basis. But here, plaintiff has never provided any evidence of any threat to any placement whatsoever at this school, not for the past school year or the current school year. There's been no evidence whatsoever of any threat to a placement, and that dooms plaintiff's claim under Mendez.
So I was concerned about an understanding that iBrain, that the city was going to pay iBrain during the whole year and that they just stopped in March. And there was no stay of the pendency order that was sought for other communications, as far as I know. Maybe there was an announcement of some kind. But if there's an outstanding obligation to pay, I would expect the city to do more. Could you explain?
Sure. So again, once the IHO pendency order came out, until the city decided to appeal it, there were penancy payments that were made. But we still had the right to appeal it under the state regulations. That time had not expired. And once we chose to do so, DOE ceased making penancy payments on appeal. And again, I think it's very clear from
I'm sorry, and under what authorities does it cease making penancy payments? I mean, shouldn't it seek a stay of the pendency order?
Well, it's a non-final order because we have the right to appeal to the SRO. Uh-huh. And district courts have, and again, this issue, since it wasn't really the focus of the case, we haven't briefed it, but district courts have held time and again that if DOE is ordered to make payments pending the SRO appeal, that would obviate the whole purpose of the appeal to the SRO by giving the plaintiffs everything they're asking for at the outset before the SRO appeal is resolved. Again, once there is a final order, we will make the pendency payment. But until then, we do have the right to appeal. And again, I would just remind this court that under Ventura di Polino, the operative placement is a theory that this court squarely rejected. And that was the entire basis of the IHO pendency order. So our appeal of that order is entitled to be heard before the SRO.
Thank you.
So again, Your Honors, we believe that Juca and Mendez is clearly on point. I'd also just point out that the plaintiff appealed a non-final order, and therefore there's a jurisdictional defect in this appeal as well. So for all of these reasons...
You had made an argument about the notice of appeal, right?
Yes, Your Honor, the jurisdictional defect.
Yeah, but wasn't the notice of appeal effectively operational?
So this court has often liberally construed appellate filings to constitute a notice of appeal, and we acknowledge that. However, for the reasons we argued in our brief, we think that this court need not do so here.
Let me ask, what information is required by Rule 30 that's missing from the July 29th motion to expedite?
Your Honor, I do agree that the motion to expedite does make clear that the plaintiffs does intend to appeal the preliminary injunction decision.
We have sometimes taken such appeals, and we have sometimes in Mendez 1, actually, I think the name, said no to these very same counsel in these very same situations.
Exactly,
so
Your Honor.
Some have said, if it's a little guy, pro se, we may listen, but where it's a well-trained lawyer doing it, we don't. But it is a matter of our choice, isn't it?
I do think that in most of the cases in which this issue has come up, the plaintiff has been pro se. In one of the cases, this court noted that the counsel was abysmal below. So I think the facts are distinct here. But in any event, even if this court were to reach the merits, the appeal is clearly moot under Juca and clearly lacks any basis at all under Mendez.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
This court said Juca was moot because the plaintiff got all the relief she was asking for. In that case, the plaintiff won an SRO decision, and through the SRO decision was entitled to full reimbursement. That has not happened here because the SRO is still on appeal. Also,
the court in Juca said that Juca's claim was doubly moot, right?
Yes, Your Honor. That's what I read. What I read before, in that she received all the relief she was looking for,
and the school year was over.
Because we pled in our complaint, we asked for pendency placement at IBRAN with transportation and nursing services for the 24-25 year. It was a mistake to plead for the year rather than for the duration of the due process complaint. That's in Juca on...
I have Juca.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's on page 4 of the Westlaw version, left-hand column up at the top. Here, we didn't plead... We didn't ask for payments for the 24-25 school year. We asked what the pendency order ordered, and that was pendency through the end of the case. And I just want to correct what I said before about pendency order not being appealed. This order was October 29th of 2024, the pendency order. It was not appealed within 40 days, but when the final FOFD came out, the DOE appealed the pendency order through the final decision.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. So I just want to make sure that I'm understanding the argument that you are making right now, which is not that you are not asking us to require immediate payment of 2024-2025 obligations, but rather 25 on to now, because those are the current continuing placement. Is that what the argument is?
First part of the argument is for the remainder of the school year, the DOE stopped. But in fact, yes, pendency applies whether or not the underlying action is meritorious. This is a completely different standard than Burlington Carter. The idea that the DOE doesn't want to pay on a non-final order, there's no case law that says a non-final pendency order is something the DOE doesn't have to pay. They'd have to seek a stay somewhere. A district court order may not be final because you can take an appeal, but it's final until it's reversed.
Where is the case that says when they are appealing a pendency placement, they have to pay for the time that generates after the filing?
Your Honor, the statute itself talks about pendency. And we talk about funding goes hand in hand with placement in a private school, continues through all administrative and judicial proceedings. So the placement continues at the private school, which the DOE must fund if the student has pendency. If the student doesn't have pendency, obviously the DOE doesn't have to fund. But if there's an order because the student won in the prior year or because an IHO here ruled or held that they have to fund the pendency placement through the end of the litigation of the due process complaint, until the DOE gets an order staying that decision, they can come to court the same way that the plaintiffs do in these cases. They can seek it.
Wouldn't that require us to read JUCA in an odd way, where we would be saying it would be limited to the time period or the school term in which the case was filed? Because what you're actually asking for, given how long some of these fights might take, is you're actually saying, fine, JUCA says not this term, but if there's another term, if there's a term after that, if there's a term after that, that they're still on the hook for those payments. Even if they're not being threatened, isn't that what you're reading?
Not just JUCA, but again, the threatened is only for you to order the DOE to pay within a week. The placement doesn't have to be threatened or at risk to get pendency. MR versus Ridley in New Jersey.
Right, but to get pendency versus pendency payment. Well, right? There's a difference?
Not in a private school. Pendency placement in a private school without payment is nothing.
It is if the person is not being threatened for being evicted for non-payment, right? Or
no.
Rejected for non-payment.
No, Your Honor. That's, again, only for fast track, as Judge Nathan calls it, fast track payment. If you go back to an Abrams decision from 2019, which was Judge Nathan's, she held in that case.
That's not binding on us, right?
Well, she understood, but she didn't say in Mendez that case or any other was specifically overruled. The DOE has an obligation to fund. When the due process complaint is filed, pendency is triggered. Pendency at the private school requires funding. The mistake that I made in Mendez was, admittedly, I got the pendency orders from the IHOs, which themselves said they should fund immediately. Came to court and asked the district court to enforce those, and the district court said, no, you have to show that placement is in jeopardy for me to order fast-track payment. Otherwise, you have to let the DOE process payments in the due course. Okay. That's what they're not doing here, Your Honor.
Okay, I think we understand your argument now. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.